Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus and his disciples were in a desolate place. They were most likely traveling from one location on to another as the crowds kept getting bigger and bigger following after Jesus. Jesus' own words from our gospel text today tell us that he and the crowds had been together for 3 days. It's quite the event, quite the tour. And he knows that they have nothing to eat. If they had something initially, it was long gone. Jesus says, "I have compassion on the crowd." Deep down in his very being, the very core of that Greek word for compassion, Jesus feels for the situation fallen on the crowds. He wants earnestly to help them. And he says, if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. Obviously, Jesus does not want that. And it's not because he's worried about his image to the surrounding people. For if Jesus had left them hungry, word might soon spread that Jesus was not so caring, that he was heartless, the crowds might stop coming after him. That would be our worry for sure, wouldn't it? But not so with Jesus. He truly cares for every last one of those people gathered around him. And Jesus' disciples hear his concern. They know that tone in his voice, and they understand that he wants to reach out and to help. But still, in their limited minds, they cannot understand how. Mark's gospel, this story from the 8th chapter, comes after Jesus had already miraculously fed 5,000 men. Should they not know what Jesus can do? Why would they doubt or ever wonder? Now you know what Jesus is capable of in your own life. Should you not know what he can do? How could you ever doubt? But we know that still the question arises, no matter the situation, how can this be? How can he help? The disciples ask, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? Watch and see. Watch and see. As he did before, Jesus gathered to himself loaves of bread, 7 loaves this time, and a few small fish. He blessed them, and then he told the disciples to begin to pass them out to the crowds. And as Mark tells us, the crowds ate and were satisfied. And then they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Truly amazing. Can you imagine the sight if you were there? What you would have seen with your own eyes. There again, Jesus shows his awesome power to provide for all who are in need, and then some. No lack, no skimping by Jesus. But have you ever wondered, having heard this story many times before, why? Why did it happen in that way? Why did Jesus feed the crowds in such dramatic fashion? He had performed miracles of healing before, where simply with a word, the illness was taken away. No real dramatic flair. So why not in this situation? Why not with just a single thought have the crowds be filled and no longer hungry? Why not in an instant? Have their hunger be taken away. No bread then would be necessary. He could keep them hunger-free as long as he wanted to teach them without end. But then, why stop there? Why does God let you get hungry today? Why is there hunger in the world at all? Why does anyone die of hunger? For centuries, Christian scholars have cautioned against asking those questions of God, the why questions. And the Scriptures, for sure, record God's own word to mankind against the attempts of plumbing the depths of God's own motivation. Perhaps words from Job's writing come to mind. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? So we too need to know our place and always accept God's will. At the same time, we can conclude from our knowledge of God's word that the bad things that do occur here in this world are because it is no longer perfect and complete. It is sinful and it is broken. God did indeed create all things to be good, and he did so perfectly, never intending, never desiring for there to be a lack of anything, never wishing even for there to be death. But man's sin, that one moment of rebellion against God, changed everything. With just a thought, God could have undone it all. With just a thought, he could have ended us all. With just a thought, he can make all things right once more. The promise we do have from the Bible is that perfection is coming again. When Jesus returns in glory, he will make all things new once more. And by faith in Jesus Christ, with all of your sins forgiven in him, you and I will live forever in a perfect heaven, a perfect earth. Until that most glorious of days, our good and gracious God has chosen something peculiar for a God of all power to operate. He's chosen to work through means. His provisions do not come instantly or immediately without intercessor. He provides through people, through creation, through love. Today's Old Testament reading from Genesis 2 is the account of God's creation of the garden and all that man would need to live here in this world. Even then, God could have instantly fed man or even kept him from ever getting hungry. Instead, he chose to create a beautiful garden for Adam to witness, to live in, and to thoroughly enjoy. It was filled with trees and plants, life beyond end, all perfect for his consumption. Gorgeous rivers flowed through the garden to keep all of the greenery lush and plentiful. It was truly paradise on earth by God's wondrous plan, his design. Without these means of life and sustenance, man would not have need of faith, of trust in God. And that is what God does indeed seek from all of his creatures, from mankind itself. God wants you, desires for you to fear, to love, to trust in him above everything else. For as the Scriptures say, we heard last week from Exodus 20, God is a jealous God. And he wants no worship to anything but him, and rightfully so. For how can there be any other than the one true God? And how could we, as his creatures, offer worship to any other thing? So God's use of means requires us to trust in him. Food does not just drop down out of heaven. On occasion, it did in the past. But our hunger does not go away with just a thought. You must eat. And you get food from someone who sells it. They have purchased it from someone else who grew it or who raised it. They in turn had to do the work of purchasing the seed or the youngling themselves. And that, of course, came from a fully grown version that existed before it. And so on it goes. These are the avenues, the channels through which we receive what we need in our lives each and every day. And in these channels, these avenues, God chooses to work. In them, He hides. The normal eye cannot see God's hand at work. Apart from faith, the sinner chooses not to see God as the source of all good things. And yet, there He is. And yet, so He is, the giver of all good things. This is why we are called to, and so often do, give thanks to God for the many and various ways that He provides for us, that He works in our lives. We are even so blessed, this is truly a miracle of miracles, that God deems us worthy to be His instruments to help others. God uses you to care for others who are in need. Your vocations are given by God to provide services and goods to your neighbor. God uses you to bring food to others. God uses you to fix broken doors, busted windows. God uses you to raise and educate children. God uses you to care for the sick and bring healing to the injured. But God did not have to operate in that way at all. He could do all things simply by the command of His word in an instant, without any means whatever. Rather, He chose to include you in this His creation, to include you out of love for all and for His very work. That's the pattern that our good and gracious God continues to utilize here in this world and in our lives through the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Now, I suppose that all of our wickedness, all of our rebellion could have been undone with just a thought, in just a moment. But instead, God chose out of His wisdom and His love to reveal that compassion that He has for all mankind through His Son, sending His only Son into this very created world, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. That Son, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, brought life and immortality into light through His very own suffering and death upon the cross. That was God's choosing, His plan to bring about redemption, the buying back of His creation. Jesus gladly served the Father in His role as Savior from all sin. Faith in Him alone, trust in God's chosen means of eternal life and salvation, that justifies you in God's sight. As Jesus provided food for the thousands by using real food in real time, so He does the same for you, for me, in this place. For your hungering and your thirsting souls, the Lord Jesus feeds you with real food. In bread and wine of His supper is His very own body and blood. The flesh and blood of the perfect sacrifice offered on the cross for all sin that is given to you each time that you commune. Word and sacrament, what we call God's means of grace, His chosen way to bring the work of Jesus on the cross to you here and now in real time. As Jesus fed the thousands with more than enough to satisfy them without any lack, so He feeds you week in and week out with grace and mercy without any failure. You never need to fear that the Lord Jesus will fail to care for you, will run out of goodness and grace to offer to you. For He is the giver of all good gifts in abundance from the very beginning of time until its end in Christ's return. Abounding, abounding in steadfast love is our King, our God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in Christ and through Christ, He has richly given you all things, grace, mercy, and peace. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.